All right, so during the time of yesteryear, during the time when Paul was writing letters to Corinth, which is 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, right? There was a great famine. So great not being that, oh, it was a wonderful time, because a famine is what? Right? Lack of water, which makes you lack of food.
And everything else.
Everything else. Yeah, because food does a lot of things, and wheat and harvests, you know, then animals start dying off, and then there's a whole another problem. So there's a huge problem, right? And this was going across the regions, but it really hit Jerusalem very hard. You know, they were hit, one would say, the hardest. It's kind of like today's natural disasters, you know, and then Red Cross would swoop in and help the people of the region, right? If there was a flood or hurricane or anything, they'd go in there and try to help out. So Paul is doing the same thing. Paul starts this collection of donations to help the Christians in Judea. The Corinthians were all on board to help out. They're like, yeah, that's a great cause. We want to help. And then it stalled. They didn't follow through. You know, they didn't actually donate. They didn't go all the way to donate. They wanted to. They had the mind to. But then something happened. Something happened. Some people in Corinthians started questioning Paul. So, where'd you get that new donkey? Looks like the latest model. It's probably pretty fast. Is that the newest designer robe? Come on, Paul, where'd you get this stuff? So, they were asking, was Paul taking some of the money for himself? You know, one for the people in Judea, two for me. One for, you know, so they were questioning this. And we'll start off in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, let me get there, verses 1 through 4. Cassia, can you read that?
Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we should receive the gifts and the fellowship ministered to the saints.
So, the northern, there's a little
geography.
Yeah, what she said. Exactly. So what is that? That's where countries are, right? Looking at maps and stuff. So the northern part of Greece was called Macedonia, right? And this would include cities such as Philippi, Thessalonica, in Berea. So these were all places Paul planted churches. Now, Corinth was in the southern part of Greece, a place they called Achaia. Now, this is just so that they're both Greek, but they're in different places. Now, Paul's not telling or not informing the Corinthians, is like, well, you should be more like your brother, or you should be more like your sister. I don't know if any of you have ever heard that. You know, you come back and say, well, I'm not 6 feet tall, and I have no rhythm, so we're physically different, and we have different talents. We're two different people. See, I'm talking about this between me and my brother and my sister. We're physically different, right? We have different talents. wanted to be our, learn how to do something, or be better at something, right? We've all, you know, we wanted to do something. So nowadays, there's this thing, the internet, right? And you can look up things, and you can look up videos. You can go on YouTube and you look up videos or whatever search engine you want, but what kind of videos would you be searching for?
How to draw hands.
How to draw hands?
Yeah, like pottery.
Nice.
And the guitar.
The guitar? Oh, I never actually did it, but I wanted to learn the guitar. But I have no rhythm, like I said. You don't know? Have you ever looked up a video and like of something that you really wanted to do or learn how to do?
Draw.
Done that. Looked up that videos how to fix cars. Wish I was better at fixing things. Wish I was better at a lot of things. But, so, the reason we look up those videos, those specific videos, is because we'll learn from somebody who knows how to do it, right? And they'll teach us how to do it. It's so that we can follow their example, right? So we can follow their example and do what they do. Paul's sharing this is he's letting him know if you want God's grace in the area of giving, let me tell you about these people and what they did. So he's kind of like the search engine. You know, he's Paul Tube. But he's letting know what this is what they did. Now, they weren't a rich area. You know, they didn't have much. And they had hard times. And they struggled. Yet, they gave what they could. And sometimes, more than what they could. And still, they employed. Is that, am I saying it right? Implore. Just doesn't implore.
What are you trying to say? What does the word mean?
It means that basically you're wanting, you're begging in a way. You're going to somebody's going and asking. You're like, oh, well, I need you to do this, so I'm employing or employer. Yeah. Yeah. So, I'm hiring you to do something with urgency. Urgency means, really, you want it done now. So, what he's saying is that they wanted to give. Are you looking it up?
Yes.
They wanted to give, and they asked to give. Right? It wasn't an order. They weren't doing it because they thought, oh, well, I'll get in trouble if I don't give. They were doing it because it gave them peace and it gave them a joy because they wanted to. It's that sense of wanting to. Yes? Did you find out?
There's a lot of words.
A lot of words. Right. I just can't say it. 2 Corinthians 8:5. Eliana?
And not only did we have hope, but they persecuted us in the Lord and lived to us, rising up the will of God.
So it's not about a great amount or a set amount. Giving, it's not about that. It's about following the Holy Spirit and what He has put on our hearts. Following the will of God. In Mark 12, verses 41 through 44. Nathan, can you read that?
Now Jesus sat outside the
post
treacherous and the somehow to the people put money into the treasury and many who were rich put in much. Then the poor people, the poor widow came and threw in two mites which
the quarters.
Quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself.
And said to him. Sorry.
Said to them a certain
surely.
To you that this poor widow has put in more than all these who have given to the treasury, for all they put in out of their abundance. But she out of her poverty. In all that she had, her whole livelihood.
So what is that story? What can anybody break that down kind of more layman?
Guess that. Because the rich people put in like lots of money, but they didn't put like all of it, but she, like the poor, she put all of her money.
She put in what more than what was required of her. Right? And the rich people, yeah, they put in a lot of money, but that was just kind of what they were accustomed to. You know, they just put in what they needed to. Right? It's kind of like the Church of Macedonians. They didn't ask, oh, what's the littlest amount I could put in and still have God happy with me? It wasn't that. They were asking, what do you want me to do, God? They're asking God, well, God, I'll do whatever you ask me, you lead me. You know, it wasn't a set amount. Because people, as far as the widower, there was a set amount. And let's say the 10%, the tithing. So they were putting in their 10%, but no more. So they were just doing what they had to. In a sense, but the widow did more than what she had to. She sacrificed more. You know, these rich people weren't sacrificing, but to the Church of Macedonia, it was a sacrifice, but it wasn't a sacrifice to them because they did it willingly and was happy to do it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 6 and 7, Jesse, can you read that? So Titus, you know, he was a fellow worker with Paul, right? Basically, he started this collection, right? And it's always good to finish what we start, right? Your parents might have told you that once or twice. Finish what we start. Now, the Christian in Judea, they still needed help. They're still affected by the famine. You know, it did not change. God didn't change, because he doesn't change. How they felt of Paul, that did change. That's what changed. And it seemed to hurt Paul the most. And it's not that they questioned him. It was that because of him that people may suffer because of him. That the people in Judea might suffer more because they were questioning Paul. Paul wanted to reassure him that he was on the up and up. right? He was doing everything right. And all the funds were going to the people that needed it and nowhere else. 2 Corinthians chapter 8:8-9. Cassia?
I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich.
So it's not a commandment. You know, we don't have to do these things to stay a Christian. They didn't have to do these things to be a Christian, but it was a love offering. It was a way to show others that they cared. It was a way that Jesus showed that he cared for us. It says he was rich, right? Anybody define rich?
In what sense?
Whatever sense you want.
Well,
in this sense.
In that sense?
Yeah, in this sense. Well, just the world sense. How about the world sense? Let's start with that.
Very wealthy. You have lots of money and lots of things.
Wealthy.
But there's also being rich in spirit as well, which is being wealthy in the sense that you have like a good conscience and that you believe in God and you have the Holy Spirit inside of you.
Awesome.
Is that right? So it says he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor. So then obviously poor is the opposite, right? The opposite of rich. So Jesus, he had anything he wanted, right? Before he came down to earth, he had everything he wanted. He had all this freedom, you say, to do whatever. And he gave that up. He gave that up for us. He became poor for us. But because he did that, and because he valued us, or he deemed us more worthy than any material thing, because obviously he could have anything and everything, he found us more valuable. Because he did that, he made a way that we could be rich through him. That we could have a little bit of what he had, you know, which is still a lot. That we could be rich through him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 10 and 12. Eliana?
And in this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there are also maybe a
completion
out of what you have. Whereas there, if there is a first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have.
All right, so we know that it's been a year that Paul started this collection. And it, like I said, it's kind of stalled. But they had that desire. You know, and helping others is a good thing. It's the right thing. And they would have regrets if they just had that desire and then they didn't do it. So Paul knew this. He's telling them, you know what, this is a good thing. You know, let's get past what you feel about me and let's do the right thing. Verses 13 through 15. I know we have a lot of big ones. Nathan, actually I saw Philip on that.
For I do not mean that others should be easily that the burden, but by an equality that now at the time your abundance may supply their lack, that abundance so also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack.
Okay, so Paul's objective wasn't, oh, well, I care more about the Jews, so I want to make the Jews in Judea rich, and the Corinthians, they have too much. I'm going to make them poor, right? He's not saying that. You know, Paul was talking about equality, about meeting everybody's needs. So back then, the Judeans, or the Jewish people in Jerusalem, they needed help. Right? We talked about that. They had a famine. They needed help. But you don't know how long that's going to last as far as that they needed help. Maybe the tables are on a turn here soon and the Corinthians would need help. And Paul's saying, you know, it works this way is you guys are helping each other. Because there could be a time where you lack the abundance. In the people in Judea, they'll have abundance and they could give you what you lack. So he's saying that you're helping one another. And then he goes on and he says, he who gathers much had nothing left over. And he who gathers little had no lack. Now he's talking about Exodus 16:18. And now when this was, is that Moses, we all remember Moses, right? He's leading the people out of Egypt, right? He's leading them out of Egypt, you know, and they're hungry. So God gives them manna from heaven. So everybody kind of heard that story, or so manna is kind of like bread, right? So every morning they'd go outside and then all of a sudden there's just bread loaves lying all around and they'd go and gather what they needed. Now, if they gathered more than what they needed, by morning that bread would rot. So they said that, so they couldn't stockpile it, but he who gathers much, nothing's left over. Because they didn't have leftovers, right? They couldn't gather more than what they needed. They needed to go out and gather each morning. But he who gathers little had no lack. You know, he had enough. Obviously, a family of 15, you know, their needs might be a little bit more than a family of 3. Right? It just makes sense. So there's an equality there, right? It's done by the needs. Paul explains to the Corinthians that, you know, you could trust me. And I'm going to have these guys come in. It's Titus and another brother. For some reason, he doesn't name this brother, but it's somebody they know and trust. And he said, they're going to hold me accountable. They're going to make sure the money is put to good things. So 2 Corinthians 8:18 through 21. Jesse?
And we have sent with him the brother who prays in the gospel through all the churches, and not only that, but who was also chosen by the churches to travel with us with this gift, which is administered by us to the glory of the Lord himself and to show your ready. this, anyone truly believes in the lavish gift which is administered by us, providing honorable things not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men.
So, unfortunately, over the years, there's been a lot of churches what did not really heed Paul's example. You know, they did exactly what the Corinthians accused Paul of doing. And I'm sure you've probably heard little things, but they used their collections not for God, but for themselves. You know, there's been too many people, too many stories where people took advantage of many people, many good meaning people. You know, these are about men that, you know, didn't desire to further God's work, but wanted power and money. You know, man telling people God needs us to give or he can't keep the program going. You know, God doesn't need our money. God doesn't need us, really. If he wants to keep things going, that things don't keep going. He'll make a way. You know, but even if this has never happened to anyone here or to somebody you knew, it still turned a lot of people off from God. And it has. It has turned a lot of people off from God. And people, you know, they get scared of just the threat of this happening. You know, and that's why it's a sensitive subject as far as the givings, especially givings of money, because people are worried, are suspicious. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, Cassia?
Nada, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though we were pleading, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God.
Now, it doesn't matter that these scam artists weren't truly followers of Jesus, because they weren't, or they wouldn't have done what they did. Christianity has received a black eye because of these people. It's because these people saw them as ambassadors, because they claimed to be Christians. And that's why if we're out there, you know, it's so important to keep our reputations clean, right? Because we don't want to give God a black eye. It wouldn't be right for us. Now, it's not really fair that they just throw everybody in a lump sum, but yet it happens, right? It happens. They see Christians, oh, well, they're all about taking our money. And there's a lot of bad people out there. Unfortunately, there's a lot of bad people. And there's a lot of hurt people. But I stress that don't let that stumble you. Don't let them harden your heart. Because there's even more people what need help. There's more people that need the love of Jesus. In Hebrews 13, verse 16, Eliana.
We do not forget to do good and to share, for which such sacrifice as God is well pleased.
God is well pleased. He's well pleased when his children help other people. You know, and it's a trifecta of, I think that's what I'm trying to, I don't know, but it affects us too. And it's a good feeling what comes across when you're helping others. right? I don't know if you've ever experienced that. I'm sure you have. When you're helping others, it's hard. You can't get depressed when you're helping other people, because it's a good feeling what comes over your soul. Anyone want to close in prayer?